Welcome back to Second Take Movies, a podcast where we give movies a second look, second chance, second take, if you will. I'm your host, Preston Jenkinson, and joining me as always is my co-host, Jake Twido.
Preston.
What's up?
Preston.
What's up?
That's all. Just Preston. I got nothing.
No crazy noises this week.
We'll see you next week. What'd you say?
No crazy noise or intro this week for you.
No, I'm taking it easy. I got hit in the neck with a golf ball.
Fun.
At a mini golf place.
At mini golf. Not even at a golf course, but at mini golf.
Yeah, it was awesome. I'm feeling better now, but yeah. My yelling and noise has been at an all-time low in the past couple days.
Cool.
Life isn't good. I need to yell and I need to do weird stuff.
Get some frustrations out.
Yeah.
Well, you know who was getting her frustration out was PETA at the end of this movie.
Yeah, that dude pooped his pants.
He was choking a bitch. Katniss Everdeen, our protagonist from these movies. It's The Mockingjay Part 1. She's in District 13 after she shatters the games forever. Under the leadership of President Coin and the advice of her trusted friends, Katniss spreads her wings and as she fights to save PETA and a nation moved by her courage.
Yeah.
Unwillingly.
Not my favorite of these movies. I'm just going to
No, it's a lot of setup.
Yeah.
A lot of people saying what they're going to do and setting up what they're going to do. And then, I mean, something happens at the end, but that's about
it. Yeah, that's it. It's a lot of nothing, but hit me with that nego, negative.
That positive from Alonzo Duraldi from The Wrap.
By the way, you read the synopsis, and I legit was like, that's a pretty good review. I was like, yeah, not much you can say about it. That is what it was.
Suffice it to say that while The Mockingjay Part 1 might not be as consistently thrilling as Catching Fire, the second movie always has the luxury of being all the PB&J and no crust. It's the movie equivalent of a page-turner, consistently suspenseful and filling with surprises and illuminating character moments. Okay, that sounds like a review for Catching Fire and not this movie.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think she watched the wrong movie.
Yeah. Todd McCarthy from The Hollywood Reporter with our negative review. Unfortunately,
this movie was so bad, Philip Seymour Hoffman died.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, go ahead.
Moment of silence.
Yeah, it sucks.
Unfortunately, Mockingjay Part 1 has all the personality of an industrial film. That's not a drop of insolence, insubordination, or insurrection running through its veins. It feels like a manufactured product through and through. Ironic and sad given its revolutionary theme.
Yeah, that's actually a really good review. I feel like that's the problem with this movie is it's cookie cutter at this point. Not a lot of anything to it.
Had we had a lot of these like young adult revolutionary movies at this point? I feel like this was the first big franchise that did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was the like middle of all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't old yet.
Mm-hmm.
But
this was like the jumping off franchise for all that.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, not the best. I mean, like straight out the gate, Part 1, Part 2.
Yeah.
This movie I think failed because they did that.
Which the director has recently said that he wishes they never done that, which I'm sure it was a studio decision. To do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet it was. But also, I have a new movie coming out. I know I messed up. I'm going to make it up to you by you paying to see my new movie.
I mean, it's pretty much all the same creative team from the last three movies of this franchise. So
yeah, which that's what strikes me odd. Of how does this one feel so different, I guess? I don't know. Just it's not...
Well, I mean, it's the first one without like a games in it, you know, like the whole
it's true.
Conceit.
And there's not really any, not that these are action movies.
Yeah.
But there's not really any action.
No.
It's
very much a lot of setup in this movie. So this one begins, Katniss, she's not in a good spot. She's in this real industrial complex thing underground and everyone's wearing gray and they have schedules to keep to, and she's traumatized a little bit. She is hiding in a little maintenance area, I'll call it, and freaking out a little bit and saying like some affirmations, which the book goes into a lot more detail about that. It talks about like she'd been going to therapy and that was like some affirmations that she was supposed to say to herself when she felt overwhelmed.
Yeah, the pacing of this movie is weird. And I think I've said this every time for the past 2 weeks. The book does the pacing better.
Mm-hmm.
It gives a lot more information. It paces things out more. This one's just like, hey, how are we going to get her to be the Mockingjay as quick as we can so we can have that?
So we can have that in the next movie.
Yeah.
Instead of just doing all of that in one movie.
Mm-hmm. Has she, like... I can't remember. She's like in like solitary confinement, pretty much. Like, has she seen her parents? It's in her mom.
Yeah, her mom. Yet? Her mom and Prim are in District 12 because they were rescued right after she was taken out of the games, and then District 12 was bombed.
But she's seen them already though in 13.
At this point, she's acclimated to everything and sleeps in the.
That's right. I'm thinking they said Dater, and she shows back up, and that's not where she stays. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Confusion on my part. Yeah. It's kind of weird of just watching Solo.
That's what this made me think of. It's like, oh, this is like an episode of Silo.
Not as good, though.
But Silo is better.
Yeah. Without a doubt, Leaps and Bounds.
Silo did the We All Live Underground thing a lot better.
Yeah, I can't wait for the next season of that.
Yeah, that's going to be a while. But
I think I'm going to read the books. But
I want to start reading the books, too.
Yeah, well, if you're going to do it, then I'm freaking going to do it. Peer pressure.
Yeah, absolutely.
You quickly figure out... we already saw these characters in the last movie, but Finnick is in that wing with her.
Yeah.
He's out. He's done. Which is kind of odd. How the last movie ended, Finnick was perfectly fine.
And I guess once he, like...
Jock, maybe?
Got there and settled and wasn't planning stuff, that's when the shock really hit him.
Yeah.
Well, also his girlfriend... He found out his girlfriend was kidnapped by the captain.
True. That's
so
a good point.
That kind of... probably set him off a little bit.
Annie, Joanna, and PETA are all kidnapped.
Yeah, I thought Joanna was in this movie. I didn't realize she wasn't until the next movie.
Same here. I really thought she showed up at the end as well, but no, she is. She's at the very end.
She is?
Yeah, there's a scene of her acting a fool, looking like a hot mess.
Oh, yeah.
The shaved head. It's very brief.
Mm-hmm.
It's right before she gets choked out.
Yeah.
But then you get to meet the president, which
not a good person.
No, not a good lady. No, not at all. And the movie does a really good job of letting you know right away. You can't really trust her. She's terrible.
It's almost like trading in one totalitarian government for another one.
Which is why in this podcast, we endorse no government. I'm just kidding. Look, boy, I'm South Carolina. I'm all about just, you know, saying none of this stuff right here. I'll just go outside and, you know, shoot my gun. I stand for a government society where I can shoot my gun wherever I feel.
Yeah. But not everyone from District 12, because a lot of them were destroyed in the bombings.
I think like 20% made it out.
Your main characters basically made it out of 12.
That's my favorite part.
It's like
the
Gail,
characters you've met made it out.
Yeah, Gail and her family, basically. I mean, we've never even seen his family, so.
No, or PETA's at that.
Yeah, so PETA's family's probably, like, everybody else's family is dead, I guess, and everybody else from 12 is dead, and they're the only four people that made it out of District 12. But,
But Coin's trying to talk her into, I guess it's Coin and then also...
Plutarch.
I always... forget his name. They're trying to convince her to become this symbol of the rebellion.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they had started the deep fake face of Philip Seymour Hoffman yet in this movie. I don't think that's till the next movie.
It's at the end of the next movie.
Yeah, because he died. He died between these two movies, I think.
Yeah, he died a week before filming ended, if I remember right.
Okay.
So pretty much everything was there, but there's a couple.
Because I was like, if any of this is a deep fake, like, it's pretty good for 2012.
Oh, no, you'll recognize it, and you'll go, ooh, no.
Or 2014, whenever this movie came out.
14.
13 or 14.
I think November 14.
Yeah.
They're trying to talk her into it, and they decide the best way for her to decide to do it is to go see 12.
Yeah. And
which, that doesn't do it yet either, right? It's seeing PETA?
No, it was basically like, let's take her to 12 and show her, like, because she's not wanting to do anything. She's like,
yeah,
she's pissed at these people because they were supposed to get PETA out of the arena. That was her big thing in the last movie, was PETA was supposed to be saved and he was supposed to be taken out, but they really want her because of how she's galvanized the people in the other districts to rebel. But they do take her to 12 and show her, like, hey, this is more than about you and PETA, and this is everybody. Gail's getting a little radicalized in the revolution at this point.
Yeah, he's a murderer. He loves death.
He was way into the revolution, to the point where when they see PETA on screen and they know how the Capitol operates, like, everybody's just booing him when he's like calling for a ceasefire.
I would never do that. Oh, man.
Well, let's start torturing you then. Let's go ahead and start torturing you. Let's find out.
You know what that dude is? That dude is a JROTC kid.
Yeah.
Who will not be able to join the military for some reason. Uh-huh. But let me tell you,
and
he can flip that gun.
Ends up committing a felony at some point.
Yeah, 100%. He did. At some point in time, that kid deals meth.
He fails a certain test to not make it to the military and ends up blowing something up.
Probably a church, but yeah. Just saying, just stereotyping here. But it's funny. Like, I definitely haven't watched these movies as much as the first one. Thank goodness. But they make Gale, like the opposite of the book, they make him more of a, not a, you don't like him. Make him worse and worse.
No,
the books is like legit, like, who do you pick? Is it Gale or is it PETA? I have no idea.
And in this movie, one, they're like, not this guy, basically, is what this movie is.
This guy's been with Miley Cyrus for a little bit. Let's let him just work this out.
In this, it's like, they go out of their way to make him unlikable, and their relationship is so back and forth. One minute, they're yelling at each other, and then they're like hugging and so glad to see each other, and
wait, what's this dumb line in this? Like, I can't figure you out. The only reason you like me is when I'm in pain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, the other dude's getting raped right now, probably.
Yeah.
What are you talking
like
about?
Having his mind redone, like in a microwave. Let's calm down.
Yeah. She goes in her house, because her house is left standing.
Mm.
And in the middle of it, there's a new white rose that Snow left. So that, I think that's when she melts over.
That's when she starts to freak out.
Grabs that leather jacket. Comes grabs back and agrees.
Prim's cat as well.
That's right. Puts that thing in a bag.
Yeah. So comes back and then, like, you know what? I'll be the Mockingjay if you go get PETA, all the other victors, and get them out of the Capitol and give them all immunity for any crimes they may or may not have done.
I'll say this, not my favorite movie, but I think some of the, I'm going to really eat this later. Some of the writing was well done.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, all right, good. Like, you believe that entire thing. You believe Coyne being like, I don't make deals.
And Jennifer Lawrence in this through all these movies, she's been great.
I will say her wig, you can tell it's a wig in this movie.
Is it a wig?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Was this her short hair?
I think it was. I know it's like a $30,000 wig. That's all.
I didn't know it was a wig. I couldn't tell.
I
knew Julianne Moore was wearing. I figured Julianne Moore was wearing a wig.
Yeah, she was wearing a wig and fake contacts. She cut her hair short. I think that was that time. I can't remember what movie it was, but you're right. That's why.
I think she did Silver Linings Playbook around this point.
Yeah, but Natalie Dormer legit shaved her head.
Oh.
And she had to wear a beanie to not let people know who she was cast as.
Natalie Dormer.
Kind of funny. You get to see the...
Who's Natalie Dormer?
She is... she's in The Girl from Game of Thrones.
Who does she play in this movie?
Tyrell. Cressida? She's like the producer.
Cressida.
Cressida, sorry. Thank you.
She's got the half-shaved head and the hair. Okay.
Yep, that's it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So with that, I guess good transition. Mm-hmm. She gets to meet her team, which is funny because Effie is all of a sudden there, which not how the book is at all. But it's fine. I mean, like that's a great character that they, Elizabeth Banks, you know, good for her.
I think Effie is there in the books. Like she's in District 13.
Not as much.
Okay.
I don't think she actually does because Senna's stylist friend is still there, and then Plutard.
Yeah, in the book, it's
Plutard's assistant,
Effie, and the two assistants to Lenny Kravitz,
Caesar Milan, Senna.
Yeah,
so I like Caesar Milan more. We're gonna go with that.
They're not in this movie. I don't think.
No, they're not in the series. Well, you see them, but they don't have speaking roles or anything else.
They have one moment in the last movie in Catching Fire, and that's about it.
They may have been the people that bathed Katniss, too.
Maybe. Who knows?
I don't know. But she agrees, and you get the world's most awkward acting performances of...
It's probably what it's like being on an actual movie set.
Yeah. I've sat in on a couple marketing campaigns where they're filming stuff, and I've done a couple of, like, not trying to call anybody out, Rio B Tools, but using a drill and having it filmed. And it's just so awkward. I mean, that's how I felt. I was like, I remember how awkward that felt of, this isn't how you use a daggum drill. What are you telling me to do? Like, just let me go do it. No, you got to.
You got to do it for camera. It.
Yeah. You gotta. I think, and then like, I could go on a whole rant, but yeah,
there's a difference between doing something and doing something for camera.
yeah. So they come up with the great idea of, you know what? Anytime anyone's loved her, she's done it herself. She does it on her own. Let's let her go somewhere.
Our old friend.
That is when he comes back.
Hey, Mitch is back.
Yeah,
and he's sober.
And he's sober.
Because there's no.
He has a cold.
Ain't no booze in District 13. Did District 13 make the weapons? Is that why they have all this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And they were just bombed a long time ago?
They were bombed, but they didn't... The Capitol didn't realize they had the bunker.
Ah. So they had built that bunker in preparation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right.
Nobody ever mentions District 13 until this movie.
Well, there's a really rad. I don't remember what movie it is. Maybe it is this. No, never mind. I'm thinking of something else in the next movie, where they're doing a loop with a video, but they do like news edits and stuff there in the book, and it's edited out. So like, the Capitol knows they're there now.
But gotcha.
What are you gonna do? Like they're gonna shoot you down.
Mm-hmm.
So. They go to District 8 because it's supposed to be safe. But I guess before they go there...
Oh, they go and visit a hospital. She gets in her little regalia and her propo team, as they call it. They go to a hospital where a bunch of people that have been fighting or whatever are all crowded in a hospital, and they all get excited because she's there and get emotional and like, oh my gosh, Katniss, you're gonna save us.
I did like the guy, Foggy.
Oh yeah, Foggy Daredevil. Nelson with no tongue is in this.
No tongue. That's finally, here we go. Our book one or movie one discussion. they explain what those are at this point, finally.
He's an AVOX.
Yeah.
Which any servant you see in the background of these movies is an AVOX.
Which is a beautiful way to say that's a lower paid actor who's not getting a lot because there's no speaking role. Yeah, you don't have a tongue.
Guess what? Your character doesn't have a tongue. Get over it.
You're going to make 5% of what you thought.
You might make $300 today. Who knows?
They go out there. They've got these special weapons. She's got the suit. Go figure. They get spotted.
Mm-hmm. President Snow sees them there.
We're going to bomb that hospital, baby. We're going to bomb it. We're going to shoot them all down. They're hanging out with rebels. Sorry.
Sure enough.
That's the cost.
They bomb that hospital, and then she makes one of her first impassioned speech to a camera.
Was that because, the "if we burn, you burn with us" speech?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is when I went, this is getting cheesy now.
Yeah, the speech is a little cheesy. I get what they're going for, but, you know, it works, but it's also cheesy in the same moment.
But that's when I did love the District 7 scene, the Lumberjackers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was so cool. I was like, oh, yeah, let's see this. Let's keep this going. This is cool. Like, I don't care about Katniss anymore.
Like, they all know, like, hey, some of us is going to die on this. Let's just keep going.
Yeah, we're going to go for it. We're going to do it.
They get sent out into work because the... Oh, and also at this point, the Capitol has sent peacekeepers to all the districts, and President Snow has made this speech like, look, you can do this, but remember what happens. We're going to put you down. And then it like executes like people simultaneously all in all the districts at the same time. But they get motivated. They run into the woods and run up there, and they throw bombs at them. They set off bombs.
They had bombs on the ground.
Okay,
so they went up high in the tree to be safe from it.
I was like, and then they bombed a bunch of peacekeepers. I was like, that's awesome.
Do more of this. But instead, we get to go see some singing after this instead.
Yeah, we go back to Katniss and her team. They go to District 12 to get footage of her reacting to District 12, and she can't really speak, but Gale goes off on this. Monologue about how they got out of District 12 and the smell of everything. And
I think it was smart though that Katniss is still the face, but you start seeing other people show up. It's like he speaks, Fennec speaks, and this one, then other people doing the next one. Where, Katniss can't do all this.
No.
So, how you feel about that song, The Hanging Tree?
It's fine.
I had to hear it so much when this movie came out. It was played
everywhere. Oh, yeah, that song, because, you know, it had Jennifer Lawrence tied to it, so that song went everywhere when it came out. I even think Taylor Swift's on the soundtrack for these movies.
Of course she is. What a jerk. that song is about a guy that was hung, and he's asking his lover to join him.
I think in universe the female protagonist of the Songbird and Snakes that's coming out, Lucy Gray, she wrote that song.
Okay,
and
that makes sense.
Her and this was back when Coralianus Snow was
Coralianus,
whatever his name is, Coralianus. I don't know. Anyway, he was a peacekeeper in District 12 back in the day. And he was her mentor in the 10th Hunger Games, and they were going to run away together. So it's theorized that she wrote that song about him.
Okay.
Because they were going to meet at the hanging... In the book, they meet at the hanging tree and try to run away together, but she doesn't show up, and he gets mad, and that leads him down his path of evilness to spoil the next movie.
Completely glanced over a note. This is the second time we've had repeat named characters in our podcasting. Castor and Pollux, a.k.a. Yes. Face Off.
You're right.
I had that realization watching this, and I watched this over 3 days. I made the note in my phone, fell asleep, woke up and went, what am I talking about in these notes? And then went, oh.
That can't be where that woman got these names.
That's Helen of Troy's brothers.
Oh, okay. So she did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But boy, I wish.
Yeah, that's wild.
Do howdy.
Wow. Anyway. So we're in District 12, sitting by the riverbank. She sings the song.
And then we got a big old attack on that dam.
They get a recording of it, and then they make this well, before that, they make this big propaganda thing.
Yeah.
And throughout this movie, PETA has appeared on these talk shows with Caesar Flickerman, and he's looking worse and worse through the whole movie. And Katniss is freaking out every time she sees him. So at this time, they were able to get into the broad. They've been getting into the broadcast signal through this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Once people saw that thing, they went and bombed the dam in District 3 or 2. I think it's 3.
It's 5.
5. District 5.
3 plus 2 is 5. You're close.
Yeah. They do the play where, like, hey, a bunch of us are going to die, but we'll keep going. It's a great scene where, like, they run up to the dam where all the peacekeepers are, and they're carrying these crates, and they keep getting, next man up picks it up, gets it in the thing, set it off, no power in the capital, and that resets the security system that Beatty designed for the capital to keep people out of the broadcast signal. So at this point, they're broadcasting the signal during this interview with PETA, and the two signals are flickering in and out, and he sees her, and he's like, "Oh, Katniss," and then
Katniss, hello.
they gives her a warning, like they're going to bomb this place. Look out! They're going. Oh no!
Yeah. And
sure enough.
That, I mean, that whole line, the whole thing of, it's time for an air raid drill.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Good luck.
So they get down to the basement, if there is a basement in a shelter, in a bunker. They get to the very bottom level. And they do get bombed, but...
Yeah.
They knew the Capitol knew they weren't going to hit anybody.
Yeah, because the whole point was to drop those roses.
Yeah.
It wasn't really to do anything more than that.
Moves and counter moves, as President Snow says.
Man, they just make him seem like an idiot in this, too. Just a creepy guy.
Well, he is creepy.
And I said it, and I was like, well, he is. That's kind of the whole point.
That's the whole point of him.
Yeah. So, like, they come out to see how everything is, and that's when... they see the flowers, and they're going to film their own proper, but Katniss can't do it because she's like, well, they're going to kill PETA.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to kill him. So they decide that, I think everything shuts down for a minute. And we haven't talked about him. He's fantastic in this movie. I'm really going to mess his name up, man. I'm a mastermind at it.
Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala Ali. Thank you.
As Boggs.
Boggs. Great. Fantastic.
Yeah. Great.
That
actor.
Was like, this is great.
The gonna be Blade at some point, if they ever
some point
get to make that movie.
He tells her, like, hey, we're gonna make a move. Mm-hmm. Like, because of this dam that went down, we think we can sneak by.
We can get into the Capitol now.
And she's like, well, I wanna go, and he's like, you can't, they've already gone.
Yeah.
It's too late. But they have to distract everyone. So Fennec, call back to the last movie, gets on camera and starts talking about the secrets that he knows.
Mm-hmm.
It was through his old spill.
Yeah, they set up a camera outside, and then he goes on a pretty great monologue about,
yeah,
I was pimped out to a lot of elites in the Capitol, and they like to spill their secrets. And he starts going on this thing about President Snow and how he would poison people before they got a chance to kill him, and he would drink from the same cup, and That's why he has sores on the inside of it, which we talked about, I think, last week. Yeah. That's why there's blood in his wine cup in that one scene. He drinks poison along with him. Doesn't get the antidote. All the antidote doesn't always work because he's got permanent sores in his mouth now.
But through that distraction, they break into a place that nobody's at. They don't have to do anything.
Yeah. They're like, all the security's down. They get to the tribute center and, I guess they drop gas down in there is what happened.
Yeah. Flashbang, gassed out, everything.
Everybody's laid out. And during this, Katniss is having a Zoom call, basically, with President Snow.
Yeah, but then he tells him, like, I know what you're doing. Ha ha.
Yeah, he you know, keeps him on the line long enough, and he's like, you don't think I know your friends are in the tribute center? So like, oh,
and he turns the lights on.
And then cuts out the feed, turns all the lights on, and they're like, and it cuts back to them, and they're like, oh, okay, we'll keep going, I guess. And
but they get everybody out. Everybody's good. Everybody's safe.
And then once we get back to base or whatever, Gale's like, that was too easy. They let us in.
The doors were unlocked.
And then they let us go. The doors were unlocked. All the guns were back on when we left. They could have just shot us out the sky, and they never did. So something's happening. And before President Snow ends the call, he says, it's the things that we love the most that hurt us. And then kills the call. And we find out why, because as soon as we see an emaciated PETA, and as soon as he sees Katniss, just like chokes. he's like, I'm gonna kill that fish.
It's been a long time waiting to knock him out. I just gotta tell you.
Yeah.
Somebody got off on that.
Like PETA has been set up as like this strong guy, but like somebody could have.
I mean, Boggs eventually subdued him.
Yeah. It's like, they're, oh, no, get off of her. Get off of her. Somebody hit this dude.
Yeah. Just go.
But
she wakes up in that neck brace. She can't really talk.
He damaged her throat so bad she can't even talk.
Yeah,
she starts freaking out.
I took that golf ball to the neck just so I could know what it felt like to be her. For all those listening, it was at Hillbilly Golf.
Mm.
So, Gatlinburg, very fun. Look out for hole 18. People will kill you. This podcast brought to you by Hillbilly Golf.
I'm sure. Why not?
Yeah. They tell her, like, yeah, he's been hijacked. Just a tracker jacker serum. They've manipulated his mind.
Basically did the opposite of Clockwork Orange, where they
torture you,
show you Katniss, fill you with the tracker jacker venom, make you hallucinate, torture, Katniss.
Oh, catnip. So he hates her. Coin is announcing the next stop for the Rebels is they're going to District 2. Mm. They're going to go take over the military stronghold. And the only district left that's loyal to the capital.
At one point in the movie, she tells Katniss, she knows how to be a politician because she's like, I want you next to me when I make this next announcement or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's when they say, oh, we were successful in getting all the tributes out and everything. And everybody's like, yay.
And it was my idea to pardon all of them. She doesn't say that, but you know it.
I think Katniss, that's when Katniss starts to realize, like, hey, we got another one over here.
Hey, I'm going to knock you in the head with an arrow soon.
Yeah. So, yeah, she chokes him, and that's the end of the movie.
I mean, it hard ends.
Ends on a shot of PETA, like, losing his mind in those straps.
Have you watched all of the Spider-Verse movies yet?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, spoilers alert for anyone that hasn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, too late. It's kind of like, I don't know, the second one of those was worse than this because you are in it, and that sucker just, boop.
I don't feel that way.
maybe it's my adrenaline or just my, like, I don't want this to end.
Because, like, you know, we know that Miles is in the wrong universe. And then Gwen is like, I'm going to get the team together and we're going to go do this thing. End. I feel that's a great place to stop, really.
Yeah, I guess my other thing is, I guess I didn't realize it was going to be a trilogy. I knew there was going to be another one of these. So this ending, it's like,
The original plan was to, this was going to be Across the Spider-Verse Part 1, and then next summer was going to be Across Spider-Verse Part 2. This is just Across the Spider-Verse. I don't know what the next one's going to be or how long it's going to take to make that one.
Yeah.
Because I don't even think they've made it yet.
Here's a fun one for this. This movie was supposed to be directed by someone else.
Who?
Rian Johnson.
Rian Johnson?
Rian. God, do it every time. Yeah, Rian Johnson was supposed to direct this.
Wow.
Or was heavily considered, but they kept the same person aboard.
Huh.
That'd have been a different movie.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to see it. I'm not going
to
lie.
Because he probably would have wanted to write some of it, too.
I think that's what got him removed.
Is what he wanted to write it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know that. That's a guess for me. But.
And I think Suzanne Collins was a lot like J.K. Rowling, where she was very involved with these movies.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
good for you if you're the author and you get like a decision making role on the movie that's based on your book.
Yeah, I mean that's, well, you know what, that backfires though. Look at Ready Player One. What happened to that movie?
That whole book is just a list of
nerdy
references.
Propaganda.
Yeah, that's all that is.
I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong, but
it's fun. But it's like
it's like you didn't even follow your own book though.
It's like, oh, you can be anything as long as it's a Warner Brothers licensed Warner Brothers licensed IP.
I want to be LeBron James in.
And the only exception is Jurassic Park and King Kong, because we got Steven Spielberg to direct. And I think King Kong is public domain, but
I think so now.
Yeah. But yeah, that's this movie.
And this movie was supposed to end with Peeta getting knocked out.
That'd have been a good one.
Yeah, just that was clunk. The like, we're going to do this right here.
Clunk,
I don't know if they,
black.
I don't know if they tested that or what, but that decision, it was like, that's where it was going to happen.
Well, I think after like kind of the cliffhanger of Catching Fire, they were like, we can't do like a hard cliffhanger on this one.
I mean, it was going to start part two of her waking up in that neck brace.
Yeah.
So yeah, you
which
can't
I feel
the
like
same.
They should have done that. Yeah.
I think that'd have been better.
And just close out on President Coin's speech of we're going to District 2 to get this thing.
Yep, that'd have been good.
But it's kind of okay, too, to end on PETA losing his mind when and strapped to a chair.
I don't know what I'd give this, man. Honestly, it's like a 6-something, 6-1.
It's like 6.5.
Yeah, I mean, it's still entertainable. It's good. I know the next one's a little bit better than this.
It's not terrible, but it's not good either.
No.
It's just a movie. I think the next one's pretty good from what I remember.
I'm curious how I feel because I think that's my favorite one.
That's because it's the one where they go through the city and try to get to the president's mansion and intrigue and deception and all that fun stuff. But now we move on to what we're watching, what we're doing, what we're reading.
I didn't realize like every video game I've been waiting for like a year came out the same day pretty much. Mario Wonder, the new Mario game's out.
Okay.
So it's awesome, but I love city simulation games like Sim Cities. So City Skylines 2 came out. And I hadn't gotten to play it a lot. I need to play it more. It kind of sucks because I'm pretty sure... So that was supposed to come out on the consoles and PC at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They pushed the console release to next April.
Mm.
So I'm pretty sure I'm playing a beta.
Probably.
So there's some weird bugs that I'm like, okay, this shouldn't have been here. It's still fun. I need to dig into it more, but that's pretty much it. And then like even worse than that... I have a new keyboard that came in that I'm going to test. So like all these things that I want to do happen at the same time when I have no idea what I want to do. So,
first world problems.
Yeah, the very first world problems. And they're worse than all the other ones, let me tell you. You can't eat. I don't know what to do.
I started the first God of War for like the fifth time. And I'm like 10 hours into it.
Dude, when that game came out, people lost their minds.
But see, I started and then quit several times. So I've started a new game like 10 times. I don't think I've ever gotten past like when you meet that blue dwarf.
Yeah.
And so I've made it to the great serpent and gone up the mountain, gone back down the mountain, and went into a different realm and came back, and now I'm in the Odenheim, I think.
I never had a PlayStation. I got a PlayStation 3 so I could play Metal Gear Solid 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it, and a couple other games.
I'm gonna get a PS5 with my work bonus this year.
I think that's the way to go.
Because I want to play the new Spider-Man.
I do too. I want to play Spider-Man bad.
I've watched the whole story on YouTube at this point in the gameplay, so I know what happens. Because I just really wanted to see what happens, because I've had a pretty good idea of where it's going.
I really kind of love that. I love that I don't have Sony stuff,
yeah,
but I really want to know about the story. And somebody plays through it. Like, I know that's weird for some people to grasp the concept.
No, but I love it.
It's great, man.
Yeah. It's the story with the story of Harry and Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
But done way better and with Venom. And they do the symbiote storyline so much better.
So I think I watched the first game, not this one. Sorry.
Then Spider-Man 3 or Venom, the actual Venom movie.
Yeah. God of War, I worked at GameStop when that came out. And, I mean, yeah, I worked. I didn't screw off too much. But God of War was in one of the PlayStations. I don't know. We always tested God of War.
In 2018, you were working at GameStop?
The first one.
I'm talking about the one that came out on PS4. Like,
in 2018 or whatever. I'm talking about the old, like the OG.
I'm on like 2017, 2018.
You're talking about Boy.
That one, yeah. I'm on that
one. Never mind. Different world completely. Well, when you said the blue guy, I'm like, yeah, dude, I don't remember that actually. I'm trying to. It's been a long time, but now it makes sense.
No, this is like old grumpy. Yeah. I've got a kid now, and it's weird, but it's good.
I've heard it's really good.
Yeah. And I really want to, once I play that, I want to play Ragnarok after that.
I think I've watched a lot of that.
I think I have too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's it. It's the finale. Well, we won't be here next week, but the next week will be the finale.
Yeah. Next week, the Fandaggle.
And then that'll be the same week as when the new movie comes out. So everyone can go see that.
You said that. I gotta get tickets.
Hopefully this hits the algorithm and takes off. We'll see.
Let me see if I can mention anything else for AI to pick up. Zuckerberg, Facebook, sued, Meta.
Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce.
Football.
Let that hit the algorithm. Maybe. We'll see. So if you have a suggestion for a movie we should do, you can send that to secondtakemoviespod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram @secondtakemovies. For Jake, I'll say we'll see you next week. And
Crap your pants, Preston.
Crap your pants as always. We'll see you next week for The Mockingjay Part 2.